Broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studio at The Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. This is Kyle Bruston-Nortman, KBN, on ESPN Wisconsin. Here's Kyle Wallace, Ben Brust, and Brad Nortman.
Packers Vikings on Sunday noon, first of three divisional games. Packers 2-4 in their last six against the Vikings, losing both games.
Boo, boo.
That's right. We'll get to the dog of the game.
But that was
in Green Bay props and preview at 3:30.
I was thinking about Bentley.
That's great. But I'm thinking about Matt LaFleur and Kevin O'Connell right now. 800-990-3776. You gonna try and woof at me again? That's what I thought.
Yeah. Matt LaFleur's a dog.
Yeah, and he's never. Has he been a dog all year?
Yeah, week one.
Great. We're in week 12. That's not good.
He's lost his bark. You're producing.
I know. Yeah. I literally, if you don't have that audio, do you have the audio? Okay. I was going to say, if you're saying stuff in his ear.
A different kind of bark.
Can we leave the, what is it, the fourth wall? Is it the fourth wall?
No.
Shove it in my ear. Come on, Kyle. Woof, woof.
Yeah,
woof, woof.
I love putting people into the idea.
We're doing entertainment here, people. Come on.
Yeah.
Woof, woof.
No, I love that you're just woof, woofing in Kyle's
ear. I'm trying
ear,
to pay attention to
people need to know that Kyle can't focus because you're all over the place.
Now I got a grown man in my ear. Come on, Kyle. Woof, woof. Woof, woof. I'm like, bro, I did it already.
Kyle, bark. Bark.
I started by doing
it. Do it now. Do it now.
Exactly what's going on.
So last year, this was the second to last game of the season.
Mm-hmm.
And this was part of the... They played some of their worst football, and there were some injuries. Christian Washington was a Bears game, but essentially they didn't play their best football in the end of the year like they did in 2023.
That is very true.
2024, this was part of us getting frustrated about where they were heading into the Eagles game, despite the defense showing up and how that game went. This is Mark Tauscher at Green Bay game night after the Packers lost to the Vikings in the second-to-last game of the season.
I thought Kevin O'Connell ate LaFleur's lunch today. LaFleur has got to. I love his passion. He's got to get himself under. I feel like he lets his emotions get the better of him too many times. He is just over there and just, you see and feel. Players want to see calmness. You want to see a coach go crazy from time to time. You can't be every third down that doesn't happen or every penalty. It can't be every time something bad happens, there's a blank storm. Like, there has to be some kind of, all right,
I want to
this
join
is going to be all right.
I want to be vice president of this club. I want to
We're
join
gonna
this club.
We're going to handle this. And it just feels like in some of these big moments, in these big games, he wants, you know, I love the fact he wants it so bad.
So that was Mark Tauscher on Green Bay game night dating back to last year. Brad, you've been bringing up the 2-4 record, as you said, this is what's set the tone game? So when you look at this Matt LaFleur, Kevin O'Connell matchup, what are you looking at as a former NFLer?
Yeah, you know, Tausch is exactly right. Kevin O'Connell, part of that, you know, McVay-Shanahan coaching tree. So these two know one another well, run similar systems. It just always seems like Kevin O'Connell, he's always one step ahead of Matt LaFleur. That, you know, we talked about that caller said about it, it's a swagger game. I want to see Matt LaFleur have a little bit of swagger because it always seems like when the Packers play the Vikings, Kevin O'Connell strutting the sideline, smirk on his face, and he feels like he has the swagger. If I even just go back 2 years, 2024 and 2023, it's a 1-3 record, but the one win that the Packers do have, if you remember, it was Nick Mullins and Jaren Hall as quarterback.
I mean, offense, the Green Bay Packers offense cooked and destroyed them. I mean, they were electric, but you're absolutely right. When you go into a game with no quarterback, you have a very, very little hope, and they had no quarterback in that game.
No, they don't. And then you look at this game, and the Packers have a talent advantage over the Vikings. Now, the Vikings have some talent. They got some good guys in the D-line.
You think they got a talent? Maybe defensively got a talent, but I would think the offense that they have for the Vikings is can go mano a mano.
The heavy 10,000-pound weight of the quarterback is what really tips the scales for the Packers 100%. Versus Vikings. The Vikings are literally playing.
That's a heavy weight.
It's a heavy weight. The Vikings, they're almost like they're playing with one hand tied behind their back because the quarterback play has been so bad with J.J. McCarthy. So when I look at this game, I say that the Packers have the talent advantage when you consider the quarterbacks. And it just seems like Kevin O'Connell's always been the one to be able to get the better of Matt LaFleur. If Matt LaFleur wants to shed this...
Shed, really?
The shed... The,
dog term?
Too soon.
AJ in Baltimore.
Who?
You my dog, Kyle.
Who? See, that? See, I did text that in. That's my boy.
I mean, if Matt LaFleur is going to get his bark back, he's got to be able to win a game like this where he doesn't play down to his opponent. And honestly, too, what are the Vikings going to do? They're going to repeat the game plan that the Carolina Panthers did, that the Cleveland Browns did, that the New York Giants did. We're going to slow the game down. We're going to try to give the Packers 8 total possessions, run the ball, eat clock, keep Jordan Love on the sideline. So we're going to see if Matt LaFleur has made the adjustments to be able to combat a game plan like that, because they've been shown that they can get beat in a situation like that. The Vikings are going to try to repeat that exactly.
You know, if the Vikings are able to do this against the Green Bay Packers, that'll be very disheartening for this defense. This is not a very good rush offense. And so if a bottom 25...
They have now that Aaron Jones is healthy,
yeah.
Jordan Mason is serviceable.
Again...
The Panthers weren't the best running team in the league.
Rico has been cooking. I mean, absolutely cooking right now.
Tyrone Tracy and Devin Singletary.
I get it. But if the
after holding Saquon to like 64.
What I'm saying is, if the Green Bay Packers once again are able to, another team is able to put on this game plan of ball control, run the football, limit the possessions that Jordan Love gets, which speaks volumes about the talent of Jordan Love, then that is a problem if they're able to execute that, because that is exactly what you saw against the Panthers. That's exactly what you saw against the Giants. And if the Vikings are able to execute being the ranked to 25th rush offense in the NFL, that would be a problem. It is on Matt LaFleur and Jeff Hafley to figure that out. We cannot continue to allow that to happen.
I agree with all of that. I really do. The curious part for me is, as crazy as it sounds, the coin flip. Who gets the ball first? And if the Packers get the ball first, because we think back to the Carolina game, it was Savion Williams who fumbled and they were 1 of 5 in the red zone. Because if the Packers are able to get that stop and score and then force a turnover against J.J. McCarthy, like, they need to put themselves in like a 2-score position, because the Giants game and the Panthers game, especially the Giants one, they'd score. Then they were able to limit possessions by running it, but also capitalizing on scoring points and keeping it in the kind of go back and forth game. If they can get any distance, I'm going to talk about like a 10-point difference. That's when they have to go away from the we're going to run, and it becomes a, all right, JJ, we now have to make you do more than we even want you to do.
Obviously, the
goal is for the Vikings to run the football. And I think they should be ready for J.J. McCarthy to do the old read option, too.
Yeah, Tommy DeVito style.
Yes, because he can't throw, and he's been proven to struggle throwing the football. So at this point, the Packers, if they can take advantage of the first half and not get themselves where it's in this 1-score back and forth, then they're in the prime position. But that's where it's like, I agree, it's on the floor and Hafley, but who gets the ball first, and what do these first two possessions look like? And then how do you capitalize after that? Because if it becomes Carolina and New York, where it just score, they're able to play the same way that they want to play in their game plan. You have to get them out of their game plan. And I feel like we've talked about this a lot about the Green Bay Packers and getting the other team to get out of what they want to do, and from vice versa, the Packers wanting to run the football, and they stay running the football even though you let Jordan Love a little bit loose and he's going.
Josh Jacobs on Sunday, if that is the case, it's going to be look a little bit different on this Packers offense.
And so again, it's on the coaching staff, but what after the scripted drives is this defense able to produce, and can the offense then take advantage?
That's what's so strange, right? Because you're right, Ben. Like, who gets the ball first? Who sets the tone for the game? It matters. It makes a difference. You walked right into it, Ben.
I did.
That's where I think Hafley and LaFleur can put their DNA and their imprint on this game. Because if the Packers get the ball, if the Packers are up 10 points or more, the Packers will have this game in the bag. I think if the only chance the Vikings win is if they muddy it up, they make it like a, you know, a 16-10 game, 7-13, keep it really low scoring. But if the Packers can get a lead, it takes about exactly what the Vikings want to do. But that's where the Packers have a scripted 10-20 plays that you can implement to score on that first drive. And it's going to be no surprise what the Packers are going to try to do. Let's stop the run. Let's load the box. Make J.J. McCarthy try to beat us through the air.
Let's go to Teacher John on the Carbless Talk and text line 800-990-3776. What's up, Teach?
Hey, listen, guys. I don't want to take you off the Packers. You're on a roll. I can call another day. All I'm calling about is making fun of everybody. So if you want me to call back, I'll call back.
No, go.
No, let it rip, Teacher John.
Wow.
All right. So, Kyle, you are right about everything. You're wrong about the dog, okay? Hang on. I'll come back to you in a second, Kyle.
Yes, sir.
Brad, your Brookfield is showing. Did you comment? I looked, check my man card. Did you comment on another man's hair twice in one broadcast?
Oh, wow.
And did you also comment on how something fit Kyle with his Packer outfit?
I did.
You're going to have to give up your man card. You sound like you're going a little girly on me.
Oh, my.
Soph. He's Metro.
Right? Right. Yeah, okay. And then, Brad, did you think the vocal cords were in the chest? Did I hear you say that
a couple weeks ago? Wait, well, they're in the...
Oh, good. All right.
No, they're in the... middle of your chest.
Brad did get his vocal cord surgery about a month ago.
Who said the vocal cords
was in it's not in your chest, friend.
It doesn't say they're in your chest.
Somebody did say it was in your chest. Neck. It might have been Ben or Strofe. One
it's
of these
Strofe.
Two,
he just pointed to himself.
I think that was me, teacher. Sorry.
And then last, this is my present to Ben from Kyle. Do you remember last fall you guys were playing Smarter Than Ben?
Mm-hmm.
And Ben skipped a question, and he said the question was, what is rock called? When it comes out of a volcano.
Oh,
he
yeah.
He skipped it, and then he came back to it, and he said, go back to the lava question.
Yeah, I remember that.
Do you remember that?
I do.
So he had the he could not come up with it, and he also said, you guys asked him, what's the main ingredient in a whiskey sour? And he said, pass.
John, how long have you been holding on to all of this?
We better change the name of this segment to eight, everybody's smarter than Ben.
John's been sitting on this for a long
time.
I'm
still laughing about that, Kyle.
John.
Yeah. I listen all the time, you guys.
John, you...
I'm just catching your mistakes, and I have to call once in a while.
I feel like I'm on part of the interruption where they do errors at the end.
I would hate to be in John's class because you get ripped for getting the question wrong.
Yeah, what I'm hearing is, John, you think I'm a perfect angel.
Yeah, well, it's Strofe.
Can't mess with the special kid.
Yeah, I got nothing on Strofe.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah, straight, John. Damn straight.
Wait, John, what would you do if you saw a kid stuffed in a locker by another kid?
Like Strofe was?
Like Strofe.
Oh, I'd get him out. I wouldn't laugh. I'd get him out. I'm that kind of guy.
I wonder why I like Strofe. Thanks, John.
All right, so boys.
How about that? Keeping us all accountable.
You're the screener.
That was a roast.
I thought Friday's were all about sending people into good vibes. I got absolutely annihilated.
You did.
I mean, he called in and he said, I got to roast Ben and Brad. And I said, be my guest.
Okay.
That was some major, major, like.
Yeah, go back to the lava question.
He was holding on to those cards for some time.
Well, that was a couple months ago, that lava question. Yeah. I don't remember the whiskey sour one.
It might have been with
making that up.
I don't know. It sounds right.
I can't actually dispute it.
Here's the thing. It could have happened, but it may have been overshadowed by another incorrect answer.
I don't think it happened, but it's one of those things where I can convince myself that it did.
Mm. I don't know that you need to convince much.
Well,
I'm trying.
Locker, where's the lockers? We have
lockers
over there. Tell us about American Family Insurance.
Well, there's nothing Stroke can do about being stuffed in the locker, but you can definitely do something on protecting your home, protecting your car, and you can do that with American Family Insurance. And what I love about American Family Insurance, they make everything so easy. I love going on the internet and being able to find a quote instantly online or to find an agent near you. So just like a great team needs great protection, American Family Insurance knows your family needs it too. That's why they make life better by protecting your dreams with outstanding home and auto policies. So always remember, insure carefully and dream fearlessly with American Family Insurance. Visit them today at amfam.com.
This is Kyle Brustin Nortman.
We were going to extend more invites, but I just jumped the gun for some reason at the meeting because I thought I was being like funny and personable, and I just don't know how to read the room. I was like, oh, this guy who doesn't know me is going to think it's hilarious that I'm with Josh and I'm saying, hey, Josh, you didn't get the first round invite. Suck it.
How in what world would that person find that funny, though?
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Ben Bruss, Kyle Wallace, Bradley Norton with Strofe running the show. Get us on the Carbless Talk and Text Line 800-990-3776 or on YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee as Kyle comes back into the frame. Strofe working hard as he leaves us at 4 o'clock.
Oh, that's
go
right.
To a rehearsal dinner. That is Chicago, the big city boy.
Oh, why are you going
Chicago?
To
Chicago?
I don't know where you're going. Where are you going?
Up north. I think he's in north. There go north, right?
No one would have noticed your bad haircut up there.
Not in Chicago. Where'd you get that from?
I don't know.
It starts similarly.
Sheboygan?
The Midwest?
Hey, Sheboygan folks, listen up. There's going to be a wild man on the loose tonight.
Strofe, my camera was so close to my face, buddy.
Did you do that on purpose?
Sheesh.
Oh, wow. It is.
You all up in the beer.
Hey, look at those pimples.
That's not pimples. That's just my damn B2Bs on my damn...
I don't know what you just said. Bradley Nortman, former Badger alum. Brett Bielema joined Unsportsmanlike this morning. He talks about coming back to Madison, Illinois, Badgers, Saturday. We had Ted Kellner last week. You saw something that grabbed your eye.
Yeah, you know, I did. This theme of doing everything late continues with this Wisconsin football team. I saw that the Wisconsin football team, Luke Fickell, the head coach.
I say program.
Program?
Yeah, because everything's been late with the program.
True, the program. Luke Fickell is hiring a football alumni relations coordinator, and the main job of this is to serve as a liaison between former players.
Hey!
Like me.
Anyone reach out?
Maybe I will have to check out on that. And Wisconsin high school coaches.
Oh!
So maybe what I did say.
They
was,
never had that position?
Tim Brando said podcasters don't know anything.
That's right. Well, maybe we do know a thing or two.
But you're not a podcaster. I don't know who the hell he was taking
exactly.
Shots at.
Exactly.
Find our
Brad
podcast
Norman.
At the ESPN Wisconsin.
That is true. That is true.
And I just, all of this, and even what Ted Kellner said in our program a couple days ago.
Let's hear Ted.
Yes.
Because I think this is interesting as it's made the rounds on social media.
We did not operate with the same budget everybody else did last year. And our budget this next year for football will put us in the top third. We were well below that this year financially.
Oh, wow.
So
why is that?
Well, there's other sources of revenues that Chris has addressed, Chris McIntosh. We were in the bottom third, bottom 40%. Next year, we should be well up the food chain in terms of competing. We can talk about how I feel about nil and how I feel about it is what it is. It's the world that we have today. And to be competitive, you need resources. And we didn't have the resources others did last year. Next year, I think we will be, which will be one of the contributing factors to why I think we'll be much more competitive next year.
So that's Ted Kellner, a Badger alum, a big-time player in the money game for the Badgers football program.
And my overarching question is, this is the third season of Coach Fickell. Why is it taking so long to do these things that should have done from the get-go? Figure out how you can maximize dollars to the program so you can actually pay talent to have talent on the field that is underneath the Wisconsin standard. If Luke Fickell himself isn't going to do it, then hire someone that's a liaison to former players and to high school coaches. Something that was a huge gap and a huge area where they just did not focus their attention. So whether it be focusing on in-state guys or former players or raising money or figuring out how to play a tough physical brand of football, all of this is happening so late. And my fear is this is happening too late. How can you possibly change all these things around in a one pivotal year where everything will be under the microscope already under 2026? So my question is, why is this taking 3 years to implement?
Yeah, I just don't understand. This isn't rocket science. I could have sworn when they hired Luke Fickell, they were going to make an investment into the football program.
Well, they made a huge investment into him.
Yeah, they put the money in the wrong spot, because right now, yes, you need to have a competent football coach, but you look at programs, all you got to do, you can throw money at problems now in college football. All you got to do, look at Texas Tech went from being an okay athletic program to being great at softball, one of the top football programs, and top 15 at basketball. All they had to do was throw money at it. I don't understand why Wisconsin Badgers football won't do the exact same thing. And now you just put yourself in a position where your team's so bad, you have this bad reputation. It is easier to build a bad team up that's already bad than try to say what we used to be. And that's exactly what the Wisconsin Badgers are recruiting based off. They're recruiting based off what they used to be. But that those days are completely gone for the Badgers. And I can't believe they even had his position.
So that was Ted Kellner last week with us as he joined Homer on the Homer Hour after, and we got more insight on that. And that was a great show with Homer. Listen back if you haven't. But then after he joined us, the 2026 recruiting class lost two offensive linemen, or maybe one had already
decommitted already, but then they got another one
that flipped from Wisconsin to Indiana, as we've been talking about Wisconsin. And this is, I think, an Indiana kid. But we've been talking about even Wisconsin kids going to Iowa, Nebraska, Minnesota, Indiana, and not being able to keep them at home. And so now I'm thinking to myself, you got these last couple games here. You got Illinois, you have Minnesota, and you have one Big Ten win. Now, if you don't find a way to win, the recruiting class, Brad, you have this. Where are they?
Yeah,
it's just a quick thing.
They have 14 recruits in the 2026 class, 67th in the country.
So
14th in the Big Ten?
That
14,
tells
15,
me.
That's bad.
That tells me the portal and the money is going to be thrown there.
I don't believe it.
But I believe it.
No.
My problem with this is you say you're going to be in the top third. Everyone else is going to continue to spend more. So if you're in the bottom 40, how are you going to jump into the top third? You're probably going to end up halfway in the middle, like 50, 60% of the Big Ten. That's not going to be good enough to change what is in the program right now in 1 year. I best not see a MAC school guy, another Grambling State guy. I want Power Four names coming to the University of Wisconsin. That's how you are going to get talent without the recruits in 2026 that probably aren't going to have an impact with your core that you're trying to build. And by the way, even as committed as some of these kids are, I do hope that they stay. But the likelihood that all of them stay is very high, because they now have what, Brad? Agents. Mm-hmm. And when you have film and money's getting thrown at agents, Badgers are going to have to match that for the good players they have, and then have to get guys in the portal as well. So I'm scared of this recipe. That's been my whole thing, is I don't know how you're hiring the relations guy late. You're now saying you're investing in the program late when it's an all-time low under Fickell in the last 30 years. It all is just backwards.
Well, it's backwards.
Backwards.
And you know, Brett Bielema, who the Badgers are going to be facing this year against Illinois, my former coach for Wisconsin, he was out on Sportsman like this morning on that plays over these networks. And he said he spent time in the NFL as a player, and he appreciates those times because it learned him how to do roster management and payroll and things like that. So there is a level of you have to figure out not only how to get money, but employ the money correctly. Nick Saban said, I believe it was on College Game Day, if you have $5 million, that's great. You're going to need a whole lot more than that. But you still need to figure out how to use the $5 million to find talent, find the right talent, and develop them. And we still don't know if this staff can do that.
No, we know they can't do that. What we do know is they don't know how to coach up guys and develop talent. And we also know that they don't know how to make a team turn play like a team. If you're going to bring in a whole bunch of guys, transfers from all these different places, you need to have a culture
that's
put in place
point.
In order for them to cultivate this identity of a football team. He has failed to do that. And he showed us that, yeah, bravo. You beat Washington at home. That is fantastic. But you have these next 2 weeks, as Ben has talked about, to show us what more can you do. Because last year, I would never forget, Minnesota, Iowa, and Nebraska, it showed us that he had no idea how to embed or input an identity on a football team, and we're yet to see that this year. If they upset Illinois, I'll be a little bit more hopeful. If they beat Minnesota, I can say, okay, well, maybe we can be the middle of the pack. But I want us to be at the top. I want us to be more like Illinois than what we are now.
Let's do this, because again, I know we are all on the same page, and I'm happy that our if anyone wants to call us groupthink when it comes to our opinions on the Wisconsin Badgers, because we have a Wisconsin Badger football alumni, we have you and me who I believe in our opinions on what it comes to for this college football program, and it doesn't take a genius to figure out that what they've done is not putting them in a position where they need to be after they
delusional. If you think a 3-7 football program puts us in groupthink, no, it puts us as evaluators. Anybody that's vouching for this coaching staff, this program, and this team after 3-7 who ain't donating money, millions of dollars to it, you're delusional. You're delusional.
Let's give away some free pizza.
Ooh, I love
that. Free sounds pizza. Good to me.
800-990-3776. Screaming Sicilian Frozen Pizza Friday. I already know I'm stopping at home with the week that it's been with the doggo. We're not going to want to cook. We're not going to want to clean. We're going to have to pick up the doggo after the daughter goes down. And then Frozen Pizza Friday is waiting for us. What you going to say, Kyle? What you
going to say? Y'all just letting them take care of that dog. Going to get your money's worth, huh?
I don't want to get the dog back and have it go south again, Kyle. Take my money now so you don't have to take it again.
Oh, boy.
What?
Life without the dog.
I know you meant goes down for a nap, but I don't know if talking about the dog while it's in the vet and then saying you're putting your daughter down.
Yeah, no. I
don't know.
Two different things.
Yeah, but you were talking about both of them, and I just thought it was kind of insensitive messaging.
Caller 14 for the amount of points messaging. We hope for this Saturday. 800-990-3776. Caller 14 for free pizza Friday. 800-990-3776. That's 800-990-3776 for a Screaming Sicilian free pizza Friday. Quickly, we go to Rob, if you can, Strofe, on the Carbless Talk and text line.
What's up, guys?
Keep it quick for me, Rob. Hey. Good.
I know this is a sports talk radio and you need topics and all, but it goes back and forth, you know. So before, we couldn't afford to pay the assistants more. So there's kind of a budgeting issue. And then we're going to kick in more money, and then you're wondering, oh, why didn't we have this local liaison working with, you know, past athletes or the local coaches? And we want to develop a QB in-state for more than a year, and we get him in there, and people hate, you know, the freshmen don't understand, oh, he's garbage. But, you know, we need to get him playing. But let's bring back the pro players and such. When have the pro players ever, even before NIL in Wisconsin, donated? But then you got Ndamukong Suh, who went to Nebraska years ago, built him a brand new locker room before any of this NIL. So it's a UW player culture problem even before, you know.
I'm sure we said any of that with the quarterback or.
Well, it's more.
I think he's just talking about general narrative that is out there.
Gotcha.
But I do.
And thank you, Rob.
I would assume that the former Badgers, because Badgers did a phenomenal job pre Luke Fickell of making sure that players felt like the love. Like they really did.
Yeah.
They came back and they love coming back to Wisconsin. I don't know what people donated, but I'm sure, Brad, maybe you can speak to it more. I'm sure the guys who made a lot of money have put back into the program that pour so much into them.
And I'll be honest, there's former player NFL money, and then there's like booster money. Like those are the guys that are really moving the needle. You have to have a group, a wide net of business leaders.
And believe it or not, the professional athletes that play in the NFL, their monies don't even come close to what booster big time.
Not even close. Not even close.
And that's just a fact.
Mm-hmm. That's just a fact. Mm-hmm. It's more about culture for former players, less about money.
So
you gotta find the money.
Good luck on Frozen Pizza Friday, and we get to Green Bay Props and Preview presented by the dog Bentley, who's hanging tough of the game.
This is Kyle Brustin Nortman.
800-990-3776. Say that again.
What a radio pro.
He's so
say that again. Nobody said a word.
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Let's do it. We're going to get ready for Sunday against the Vikings. Green Bay Props and Preview and the dog of the game. I'm Kyle Brustin-Ortman across ESPN Wisconsin. Hope you're enjoying your Friday. Let's do it, Strophy.
I'm going to ask you to place a little wager for me.
goes to the end zone. It is a one-handed grab by Matthew Gold.
Intercepted, taken away by Xavier McKinney.
This is the Green Bay Props and Preview.
Ooh, that's my dog. Ooh,
ooh, ooh, ooh. And Dog of the Game. Presented by Sit Mean Sit Dog Training in Waukesha. Schedule your free consultation today. Visit SitMeanSitWaukesha.com.
Let's quickly hit some injury notes while playing Props and Preview.
Definitely worth it since there's 18 guys on the report.
Josh Jacobs, 0.5 rushes on Sunday against the Vikings.
I don't think he plays.
So you like the under?
Under. I'm taking the under because it's a necessary under.
I'm going under. I don't think they push him. I think they're thinking Thanksgiving.
I agree with you guys, but all four of us think he does not go Sunday, but I mean, that means he will go Thursday.
It's
then,
a little bit of a coy, questionable, make sure you plan for him sort of thing.
I mean, he said yesterday it was all dependent on the swelling, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah, but as we discussed with Brad and Domofsky and Tausch and Jason, like, if he in this game gets hit and it swells up, you're not playing Thursday.
Correct. That 100% agree with that. But do you? I mean, and then obviously you get the long week. So I think that does logically that makes the most sense. I agree. But
what?
Matt LaFleur and company view him as their offense, or obviously a huge part of it. He's one of the best players on the roster.
They were fine without him last week against the Giants. Emmanuel Wilson did just enough. You can put the game on the arm of Jordan Love, despite this being a very good player.
I would also say he's. I'm as big of an Emmanuel Wilson fan as anybody. He wasn't all that great last week.
Yeah, no, he wasn't. But
the touchdown carry was solid. That was it.
Josh Jacobs needs to rest up in general, though. He looks like he's been banged up for several weeks.
Well, look, so
when you play behind the line,
it'd be nice for him to get a little break.
They're just getting hit
all the time.
Behind the line scrimmage.
Just getting crushed.
Brandon McManus, 0.5 kicks attempted.
He's going to be back. He set the kid up last week. He saw that win and he said, I'm out.
Benny Smile. He has no idea what the hell's going on. I don't either, so I don't blame you.
I'm
effectively asking you, is McManus or Haversick going to kick?
It's going to be McManus, but ultimately this was a mess up. He should have been on IR. He should have been on IR.
Yeah.
He should have been on IR for 4 weeks, and this was a debauchery.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, they messed this up. Bad communication, bad evaluation
by communication.
The
player. That Brandon McManus is being selfish.
Yeah.
He put his want, his needs.
Well, it's up to doctors more than him.
Well, if he says I'm fine, he kicks through it. He said I'm fine to play.
It's up to him. He can say like, oh, and again, it sounded like he was hitting kicks in practice.
He was, yeah.
But then telling the broadcasts that he was hurt, that's all I needed to know.
I'm not sure.
He didn't want to give up the job to someone who just kicked the 61-yarder against the Cardinals. He felt his job, and he went selfish. And looking back, it's... IR would have been the play.
You always think you can do more than you actually can, especially when you're injured. And you're
always a competitor.
You always underestimate how much it might, you know, get you. So
let's go Lucas Van Ness, 0.25 of a sack. Sounds like he will return on Sunday. 0.25 of a sack. Does he get half a sack or no sacks?
Under.
Yeah.
I like the over here.
Well, you're just... Why?
I'm a believer in Lucas Van Ness. Officially back. Because I think he's going to be more productive, and I think he'll be the edge rusher opposite of Micah Parsons
next year.
More frequently this year, maybe not than Rashawn Gary overall, but definitely next year.
No, I think if anything, I'm happy to have him back to get another body that is versatile that can play inside and outside. I think he could help more than getting sacks.
Yeah.
I think he can definitely help with slowing down that running game and giving you a more competent
Aaron
body.
Jones revenge game.
Aaron Jones played his last
year.
What do you mean? You don't get revenge every year.
I mean, it's always a revenge game if somebody moves on from you.
Why don't you have a revenge day against that dude that pushed you in the locker? You bought him a beer instead.
I had a revenge game against the high school I left.
All right.
Did you win?
Yes, we did.
Wow. You played the B squad.
No, we played the freshman team when I was a freshman. And we won.
Oh, the big freshman game.
Yeah.
Big attendance.
Eight-point game for Strophy.
Wow. These are – I got to see highlights.
I'll see what I can do for you.
Yeah, I need to see you in action.
Where were you most dangerous offensively?
The block. I was tall.
The block.
So in the post.
Rebounds.
In the block.
Everything he says is textbook. Nothing's like, I got the ball in a post, and, you know, I put my back to the basket a little bit. I had a hustle.
Mid post.
There's nothing
Bro,
about what
I didn't play in the NBA. I was 14.
None of us played in the NBA.
Corner. Did.
Love
the elbow was my best shot.
the short corner. I get a corner three.
I had a good, hook shot, like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
I was the young Kareem back then.
Corner threes occasionally. I'd set a screen
from
across the corner.
From the block to the corner three. A blocking three guy.
It's basically
rebounding three
Brooke
guy.
Lopez out there.
Yeah, pretty much.
I got to see this.
We ran similarly also in his old age. J.J. McCarthy over under 1.5 interceptions.
Oof.
Over.
I like that.
Over.
I've been preaching it all week, so I got to stay with it. Over.
I mean, I'm going to go under. I mean, this Green Bay Packers defense, have they forced two interceptions in one single game this year? I mean, I have to go back and see potentially.
If you can't do it this game, you'll never do it.
They should have had it last week. So, I mean, if J.J. is going to give them some opportunities, hopefully they capitalize on it, as Strofe was talking about earlier today.
All right. We've been actually giving sometimes some really good dogs of the game.
We've been giving sometimes some actually good. What a ringing endorsement that was of your program.
Hey, let's nail the dog of the game, and on Monday, let's play it back of who had it.
I like it. Hold us accountable.
Yes.
I'll go first. Romeo, Romeo, where art thou, Romeo?
Wow.
Now here's why I say Romeo Doubs. I think they're going to try to run the ball, the Green Bay Packers. I don't think it's going to be terribly successful. It's going to go on the arm of Jordan Love. However, I think Matt LaFleur knows we don't want long developing pass plays, right? The Brian Flores blitzing defense, and their D-line is pretty good. And the Packers' O-line, not so good in pass pro, especially up the middle. So what does that mean? Quick passes, that means more possession-like receiver in Romeo Doubs. I think he's going to get the ball out quickly. I think Romeo Doubs has like 8 receptions, 90 yards, and a tutty.
I like that. And for me, it's a guy that he may or may not be able to play. We don't know. Or he'll probably be able to play, but we don't know what the role is going to be. I think this team, because I don't believe Josh Jacobs is going to play, I think Emmanuel Wilson is going to be the dog of the day. Simply because of the fact that this is a good pass defense. So you're going to key in on who? Slowing down Jordan Love. And when you're focused on the passing game, what opens up? The running game. So I think Emmanuel Wilson will be able to take advantage of that. And I see Emmanuel Wilson going for over 80 yards. He's going to have a touchdown.
Ooh. Hey, wait, I forgot to bark.
And he's going
to
be the dog of the game.
Xavier McKinney. We talked about the interceptions. I've seen J.J. McCarthy sail them in a spot where you got guys running across the cornerback and wide receiver picking them off. Give me Xavier McKinney at least one interception for my dog of the game. That is brought to you by Sit Means Sit. And if you're heading to a Milwaukee Bucks game, make a bet at Pottawatomie Sportsbook to catch a shuttle to Fiserv Forum. After you purchase or bet, you get a wristband upon request. And then you can board a shuttle leaving Pottawatomie. It is limited on a first-come, first-served basis. Shuttle pickups and drop-offs will be in the annex next to the sportsbook. Return shuttles are departing 1 hour and 15 minutes before, shuttles begin departing 1 hour and 15 minutes before the game. Return shuttles are third quarter and run nonstop 1 hour after the game. Bet above the rest at Pottawatomie. Bingo Ben had a blast at the casino hotel. We wrap up the ESPN Wisconsin portion of the show. Get to the 414 hour at 4 next.
This is Kyle Brustin Nortman.
Do you think...
No.
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Wrapping up before the 414 hour at 4 here on Kyle, Brust, and Nortman. I saw this tweet. Vikings undrafted free agent returner Miles Price has the highest kickoff return grade amongst all players in the NFL. Wisconsin family on Twitter just put up a crap and a picture of good old Rich Bisaccia. We took our best returner and made him CB1.
Yeah, I mean, the Packers make finding a returner so hard. You said this is an undrafted guy?
Undrafted free agent,
now one of the better returners in the NFL. I'm telling you,
we talked about the 43rd, 44th, and 45th. Third to last, and last. The bottom
three punt returners in the NFL are all on our roster. That is
correct.
That is how bad we are. And we literally for years didn't have a good special team guy. We find one in Keyshawn Nixon. What do we say? Ah, let's make you a cornerback number one. And then now the Green Bay Packers are right back in the situation that they are, that Romeo Doubs is back there struggling. We found out Savion Williams has never done punt returning before. And so we find ourselves in a bad situation.
He was all pro.
Matthew Golden
Nixon.
Was one, another one who had never returned. Or who was the one who had never?
Savion.
Savion.
Savion. Punt return.
Romeo Doubs.
Before.
Jaden Reed was back there for a little bit too.
When he was healthy.
When he was healthy. I mean,
can't put him back there when he comes back.
In my experience,
It was Matthew Golden who had never returned a punt because he did a little spin move.
Oh, yeah.
In my experience with punt and kick returners, you either got it or you don't. Like, there's a comfort level, there's an experience there where you feel comfortable catching the punt. You feel comfortable in that open space. Throwing guys back there though, just sort of willy nilly. Oh, it's a recipe for disaster. That's what the Packers do. Yeah. I don't understand it for the life of me. And they come at a low investment. You can find a guy who's an undrafted free agent or something in the like who did it in college. You say, ooh, he feels pretty comfortable on special teams. You put him back there. Guys like that pop up all the time. All the time.
Not to be great.
What are you talking about all the time?
Not to be great, but to be serviceable.
The last great punt or kickoff Packers return can't for the find Packers him. Was Allen Rossum. Awesome Rossum for the Packers. I can't think of nobody else.
I mean, Keyshawn Nixon was an all-pro.
Desmond Howard.
I mean, he wasn't taking it back to the house.
Yes, he was. He took two to the house his all-pro year.
Yeah.
Oh, he took two punt returns?
Oh, kickoff returns. Oh,
okay.
But that's still.
No, that's good. That's fantastic. Yeah, no.
And you'd think with the more advantageous kickoff return, where they're returning more, like there would be
nothing's
more.
Nothing's happening. We don't have anybody that's explosive. Or
if anything, Brad, I think I asked you this. I have to feel like the Packers have the worst starting position on kickoffs in the NFL.
They have to. I mean, we see every other team get to the 35 regularly.
Like 27, 20. I'm like, damn.
Yeah. The Packers, last time the Packers returned a punt for a touchdown, 2014.
Was it Sam
11
Shields?
Years ago.
You're kidding. That can't
11
be right.
Years
Who
ago.
Who did it? Who
that
was the returner?
That can't be right.
I mean, if we're going to believe ChatGPT and pulling stats from the internet, Micah Hyde.
Okay,
he was actually a pretty decent
the army. What was Swiss Army knife?
I just
double check AI because it's not always right. Check that source.
I'll check that source
because that
Micah Hyde returned a punt December 28th, 2014 against the Lions
I
at
know,
Lambeau Field.
But can you please double triple check that from 2015 to 2025 there has not been a single Green Bay Packer to return a punt for a touchdown?
Yeah, I'm looking at it too. The last punt return for a touchdown was 2014. It was,
how can that be?
We had two. We had.
How can
like,
that be?
Easy. You're just bad.
I don't understand how the Packers just can't get special teams right.
But we sure got guys who can run down the field to make a tackle on special teams, so they claim.
Jim, Matt, and Molly are next in Madison. Damn Boat Show in Beaver Dam. Strofe heads to Sheboygan for a wedding. Chris Larson's going to sub in. We're back in 2 minutes on Kyle Bruston-Nortman, 414 Hour 4. 2 minutes.